From your house to the White House, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
It is Will's Ways to Save and Keeping Your Money Safe. Matt Granite with some help from Daria this morning in from Channel 3 on Will's Ways to Save. Good morning, guys.
A great morning.
And
good morning.
From what I see posted, if I was out shopping over the weekend, or I'm going to be shopping the next couple of days and weeks with the holidays, my identity, my wallet, whatever's in my purse could be stolen, guys?
Oh, yeah. I already have Holly Strano's credit card number. I scanned it in 5 seconds live channel 3 this morning. But I have Daria here because this is common. It's not just Holly, Bill.
The last time I went on vacation was about 7 months ago, and I came back and found out that my credit card actually got frauded. So it turns out that while I was in the airport, someone had brushed up against me, and they had all of my personal information. So it was a lot of fun getting back to that after a nice, relaxing vacation.
Oh, my goodness. That's a headache. Granted, you got a fix for this, though, for me?
I do. One in four people listening right now in Northeast Ohio will have their credit cards taken. If you have one of those new credit cards, Bill, that has the chip in it, yeah, you're a little bit more safe from database theft. But in terms of radio frequency ID theft, as Daria said, just someone brushing up against you, your solution today is a wallet that is entirely protected. Barriers for your passport, your credit card, your license, everything you need to stay safe built into the wallet.
I love it. Great quality product, and you got a good price on it too, right?
Yeah, I found this for $13. It's at least 60% off. Daria, before we go, does this pass the fashion test?
Absolutely. It's very sleek. It's a nice black color, and it's a nice leather, so you look absolutely amazing no matter where you go and no matter where you bring it with you.
See?
That's a must.
I found a good item, Bill.
That's a must. Passes the fashion test. It looks great. It's a good price. And it keeps your identity safer than what it is now. Matt Granite with Daria. Watch him on 3 this morning. Back here same time tomorrow with some great savings. WTAM.com. Keyword save. Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
Get Mike Snyder Sports Mornings 15 and 45 past on News Radio. WTAM 1100. This team can lose many ways. Yesterday it was overtime. We kept them out of the end zone, right?
Bill, that was one of the ugliest football games I've ever seen. call that entertainment. It was like actually misery. Just end it. The Titans were terrible. I mean, that was the game for the taking for the Browns.
And we're taking this overseas to show them too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The NFL, they do not discriminate what they send over there. And the Browns falling yesterday in overtime to a Tennessee team that should be they probably shouldn't have even showered. They should have just gone straight to the bus and get out of town with the win. Ryan Succop's 47-yard field goal with a minute 55 remaining in the OT lifted Tennessee to a 12-9 win. When they say somebody had to win, well, that game probably was deserving of a tie for the two teams. The Browns, though, stay winless at 0-7, and the mess that it is, Hugh Jackson, after benching DeShone Kizer a week ago, played him yesterday into the third quarter, but turnovers at the end of the half, and then to start the second half, Hugh looked over to the bench, and he put Cody Kessler in. Kessler gets his first chance of the year with the Browns at their one-yard line. He actually played pretty well, but it wasn't enough, and the Browns lose. On the quarterback flip-flop, here's what the head coach had to say.
I can't worry about confidence. You guys keep talking about confidence. We are in the business of winning games. This is a performance-based business. If you turn the football over in the National Football League, you cannot play. Okay, it's just that simple. Everybody keeps talking about confidence. I'm not worried about confidence. I got 52 other guys in there to worry about their confidence and trying to win.
They are trying. They are doing that. But Jackson also seems surprised to learn that his starting quarterback, DeShone Kizer, was out late Friday night. In fact, video surfaced on Channel 19 of him at a downtown establishment at 1:30 in the morning, actually Saturday morning. Now, there was no curfew violation. He was doing nothing wrong. He practiced Saturday, but it's just a bad look of a guy trying to prove himself as an NFL quarterback, and actually a few of his teammates even spoke out about that. Ironically, earlier that day, or actually on Friday, Kizer had summoned an offensive player-only meeting. Now, the sad news of the day. Joe Thomas suffered an injury ending his string of 10,363 consecutive snaps that Joe persevered through with the Browns. Here's what Joe had to say about what happened.
Routine run play. I mean, I've done it a million times where you're just blocking a guy and you go to try to finish him and you get one last shove, one last push, and you just felt something unnatural in your arm.
So he'll undergo an MRI today. It does not look good for him as to when he'll be back, be able to play again. We'll know more later today regarding Joe. Browns do travel across the pond to London, where they'll meet the NFC North leading Minnesota Vikings, who are 5-2 after beating Baltimore. If you missed it last night, Patriots in a Super Bowl rematch took care of business. They didn't come from behind. They led all the way to beat Atlanta 23-7. College football, big week for the Buckeyes. The big game, they'll host number 2 Penn State Saturday. Indians are looking for a pitching coach today. Mickey Callaway is headed to New York to manage the Mets. Good luck to him. What a great job he did here. World Series Game 1 tomorrow night in Los Angeles, where the Dodgers host the Astros. Cavs, after a nice win Friday in Milwaukee, were humbled at home Saturday by the lowly Magic. They'll practice today and host the Bulls tomorrow. Coming up, Hugh's reaction to Kaiser's late night in downtown Cleveland. That coming up at 5:45. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
If there's a need for some kind of interim step here to stabilize the market, we need a bill the president will actually sign. And I'm not certain yet what the president's looking for here, but I'll be happy to bring a bill to the floor if I know President Trump would sign it.
Tax reform talk over the weekend.
I will say the fact that health care is so difficult, I think, makes the taxes easier. The Republicans want to get it done.
All right, Joe Gomez joins us from D.C. on a couple of stories this morning. Joe, good morning. Before we get to some of this stuff that affects us, let's talk about the noise. I think at one point yesterday, wacky congresswoman was a trend on Twitter. What's up with the Florida congresswoman and Trump here?
Well, it looks like this feud that they have is still boiling over a couple of the days after the fact. And so Congressman Wilson is now getting the backing of some of the women of the Congressional Black Caucus, who say that they want to see General John Kelly, Trump's chief of staff, apologize to her and take responsibility for false statements. And this is after Kelly claimed that Wilson had boasted in 2015 about raising millions in funds for the FBI's Miami field office, when a video published showed that she was only talking about getting the legislation through to name the building in the honor of fallen agents, not actually about the funding itself. So that, combined with President Trump calling her a wacky congresswoman once again, has this feud continuing to just grind on here.
All right, on to some other stuff. Tax cuts, tax reform. Heard Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and President Trump with Maria Bartiromo. That seems to be topic A this week in D.C.?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big one, because we'll find out if the House passes the GOP's budget. And then afterwards, what comes next is there'll be a tax bill that will also come out of the House, which could potentially be attached to that budget. And then and that's going to be something that they're going to work on passing together, tax reform with the budget as part of a budget reconciliation process, so that Republicans only need to have a majority of the vote.
And finally, JFK files. Over the weekend, it was learned President Trump said that he will allow more than some 3,000 classified documents on the JFK assassination to be released by the National Archives.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be really fascinating. I mean, this was supposed to happen anyways, coming up on the 26th of October, and it looks like President Trump is not going to be holding this up any. This is part of the 1992 law on the JFK files, that all records previously withheld, either in part or in full, would be released in 3 days. So in 3 days, we could really find out, you know, something, if the government was part of some cover-up as it relates to JFK's assassination.
Another round of the conspiracy business coming your way soon. All right. Joe Gomez, Washington this morning. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
This is Bill Wills, News Radio WTAM 1100. Travel and some deals. Rick Cini joins me at faircompare.com. All right, chill in the air, thinking ahead, and when it comes to holiday plans, air travel. Rick's following the prices for me. Good morning, Rick. What are you seeing this year?
Well, prices are very similar today what they were last year, and somehow what we've seen now is a price jump of about $2 for your virtual airline ticket every day you procrastinate, all the way up until the end of the month, and about $4 once you hit the end of the month around Halloween time. The thing I would note as well is that certain destinations are going to be much cheaper, and certain days are going to be much cheaper. Tuesday, for example, and Saturday returning around Thanksgiving are cheaper. the day of Thanksgiving or at least the morning of, as long as your flight's under a couple hours is cheaper as well. And I'll note, too, that the Caribbean nations, most of them are back open again for holiday travel, including Thanksgiving and Christmas. Prices are starting to jump. They dropped pretty dramatically there for a few weeks.
Oh, good point. Yeah, let's take that up a little bit. If you're thinking about somewhere different besides Disney World in Orlando or seeing Grandma and Grandpa in Texas, maybe open the map up a little bit, but do it early?
Yeah, there's no doubt that the days matter, which days you go. This year, Christmas falls on a Monday. Saturdays and Wednesdays tend to be a little bit cheaper, for example, than other days of the week to fly. Just remember that airlines consider Christmas to be a range of 3 weeks, not just one day on the 25th of the month. So last 2 weeks in December, first week in January are going to be probably some of the most expensive tickets, especially if you're heading to warm weather. So I would also note that the Keys are also back open as well in Florida.
Rick, Southwest had one of those fare sales a week or two ago where they blocked out a bunch of dates when normally you'd want to go. But my point is, I guess, you know, it's a reminder. They want to make sure every seat is full. And if those computers are forecasting any emptiness at all, they adjust the price.
Exactly. That's the way it works. Essentially, they're gauging demand. They're comparing that demand over the last 2 or 3 years. They're also looking at their competitors' pricing as well and making those adjustments. Just generally, when you have no empty seats, flights completely full, fuel prices actually not changing a whole lot, airline ticket prices tend to go up just generally. Now, this is the off-season. If you can fly outside of, for example, Thanksgiving in those last 2 weeks in December and first weeks in January, there's tons of good prices. That's when you saw that sale. That's when everything was blacked out during that sale. Also, the day of the week you fly is important. During that sale, Fridays and Sundays were blacked out. Other days were not. So if you can pick and choose, pick one of the cheaper days to fly if you can on your trip. You'll always find a deal. You can get away somewhere if you need to. And if you have to go specifically to Orlando or something like that, the days you go do matter. For example, Tuesday, Saturday trips, which is plenty of time at Disney, is way cheaper, for example, than Sunday to Sunday, especially during things like spring break and the holidays when the airlines know exactly that people want to take those seven-night trips.
Good advice. Good take. You can find out more at faircompare.com. Rick Cini, founder, CEO at faircompare.com on the cost of flying. Thanks, Rick.
Hey, thanks.
News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Where are you in life? You're part of the what's called the sandwich generation. You're not alone. Okay, you're trying to plan for your own retirement. Your kids, looking at them young now, but how are you going to pay for college? And, oh, by the way, mom and dad are over your shoulder. You're going to have to maybe help them at some point. A lot of financial pressure. You got to get organized. Melanie Ross on that topic this morning, certified financial planner over at NCA Financial Planners. Melanie, good morning. Did I miss anything when it comes to concern right now?
No, it's very, very stressful for these folks. And so I'm here to give you some survival tips about what you can do if you're helping your parents during retirement.
All right. Communication, I'm sure. If you're, you know, part of a couple, make sure you're both on the same page. And you got to get organized, number one, right?
Absolutely, because like I said, it's overwhelming. And so the key is to be organized. And so if you haven't done it, gather all of your parents' financial information, like their bank statements, credit card statements, their investment statements, insurance policies, and even their wills, and then keep track of all of the activity. And it's a good idea to do this alongside of your parents as much as you can, because having them involved and you being organized will help everyone feel in control and have peace of mind.
That can probably be a tough conversation, but you know, maybe if you watched your parents take care of their parents, maybe that's the way to kind of have an icebreaker. Hey, look, when I was a kid, I saw you help Grandma and Grandpa. I want to talk to you about what's going to happen down the road.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Melanie Ross with me at NCA Financial Planners. Okay, number two here, budgeting. Talk about that.
Right. So your parents' number one expense in retirement either is or will be health care. And as they age, their medical costs will increase. So it's really important that you budget for it and figure out how their medical costs will be met in the future. Now, one way to kind of do this and potentially help with their long-term care needs is with long-term care insurance. But again, that's an added expense. So you have to keep all of this in mind when you're budgeting, both for your parents' current and future expenses.
We're not endorsing anything, but we are endorsing looking into everything, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you need a long-term care plan. Whether that involves long-term care insurance, that's up for debate. But there needs to be a long-term care health care plan.
All right. We're talking about the sandwich generation. You got mom and dad. You're looking over your shoulder. You're seeing them, thinking about taking care of them in the future. Melanie Ross at NCA Financial Planners. With that in mind, everyone's role needs to be clear throughout this, right?
Right. So, Bill, this is where the powers of attorney come in, and you making sure someone is appointed to act on your parents' behalf should they be unable to. Now, you can get a power of attorney for financial matters, and you can get a power of attorney for health care. And what's so great about POAs is that they can help ensure that your parents' wishes are carried out regardless of their mental capacity. And if you have to be an attorney, then you'll be able to help them with things like their banking transactions. And then you can also file their tax returns for them. And you can make investment decisions. And then you can also make health care decisions for them. So these documents are very, very important. So you have to make sure it's clear who will be the one to represent your parents should they need it.
Good information, good advice. At least think about it and start a conversation. Melanie Ross with a few things to think about over at NCA Financial Planners. Thanks, Melanie.
Thanks.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. We're on your money. Topic is savings this time. Jordan Goodman joins me at MoneyAnswers.com. Hi, Jordan.
Great to be with you again, Bill.
So savings, I'm getting what, 12, 13%? It's so easy to find a return right now, right?
Well, maybe in Brazil or Venezuela, but not here. No, but what's happening is the Fed Reserve raised rates twice this year. They're probably going to raise them again in December by another quarter point. So what that means is what you're paying on credit cards, mortgages, CD, car loans, student
right.
loans, all those things is going up.
Right.
But what you earn continues to be pretty much zero in CDs and money market funds and savings accounts at the bank. So you got to do something different if you want to earn some money.
Which is why we call on Jordan Goodman at MoneyAnswers.com.
That's right. All so right. A good place that's helped a lot of your listeners in the past are what are called commercial mortgage bridge loans. You get 6% for 1 year very safely. Website for that, commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com. What they're doing, Bill, is they're lending money short-term, like 1 year, to commercial real estate projects, shopping centers, apartment buildings, hospitals, whatever it may be,
right.
that need the money to renovate or improve themselves over a short period of time. They pay the interest. They pay it back after the project is done. So your loan is secured by the physical real estate. The maximum they're going to lend is 65% of the value of the property. And so it's very secure. Lots of your listeners have done it and gotten their 6% interest. And it doesn't have any market fluctuation, doesn't go up or down at all with interest rates or the stock market. And there's no commissions or fees. So 100% of what you invest gets that 6%. So there's a solution for you instead of waiting for the bank to raise their interest rates, which is not about to happen, Bill.
That's commercialbridgeloans.com, Jordan?
Commercialmortgagebridgeloans.com, correct.
Jordan Goodman, he is at moneyanswers.com. You can follow up there with some more tips on money. And always good about returning an email, too, if you have a question. Jordan Goodman at moneyanswers.com. Thanks, Jordan.
All right, thank you, Bill.
Our city, our country, our world. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
And our teams, best team coverage of the Browns, Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside, and Terry Pluto's Monday Check-In brought to you by Universal Windows Direct, graduate Benedictine, 8-time Ohio Sports Writer of the Year, columnist with The Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com, the Terry Pluto. By the way, great faith column, too, on Saturday. Nice perspective from a longtime emailer, I guess.
Who had basically really gotten serious about his faith, and then his wife ended up with Alzheimer's, and he spent 6 years taking care of her. And as he mentioned, too, sports was one of the nice diversions for him during that time. And suddenly the Browns being 0-7 isn't the end of the world, by the way, when you're going through one of those.
Very true. Let's dissect it, a few of your scribbles. Let me start at the bottom and go up. At least the kicker had a good day. I mean, Gonzalez,
there you go.
People wanted to run him out of town a few weeks ago.
Well, anytime. Kickers are supposed to be perfect. They're like closers. So it was nice to see that. That was good.
It really hurt to see Joe Thomas on the field, Terry, and the way he reacted afterwards, though, he's always a pro, dealing with it, but what an incredible performance by Joe Thomas now over a decade plus.
I mean, I just was watching ESPN. They kind of debated whether that was even more impressive, say, than Cal Ripken's, just because it is every single play that he was out there. And, you know, it is such a physically violent sport. And it would be so easy. We've all seen it here in Cleveland. When your team's not real good, you get to about week 14, you're in that trainer's room. I think I'll kind of skip this week.
Not Joe, and he's headed for the Hall of Fame, and he's played with the worst team in the game for over a decade, and that team is still looking for a quarterback, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, I mean, basically, I'm going to have a column coming up pretty soon today, and one, number one, I would play Kessler simply because of the thing with Kizer being out at the bar, and that's not that that's a huge thing, but it just was. It was a 21-year-old who wasn't thinking after you call players only waiting and then go out, you know. And by also, he just didn't play particularly well. So you, next week, it'd be Kizer. I mean, I'm sorry, it'd be Kessler. The other thing is, I would give serious consideration to cutting Kenny Britt. I really would talk about it this week.
You know, Terry, trying to be fair and give them the benefit of the doubt, and they've got all these picks next year's draft.
Right.
But things just keep happening. You mentioned Britt. We see the way things have gone at the quarterback position. I read a note today regarding Joe Thomas now being out that Mitchell Schwartz now with the Chiefs, who wanted to stay here.
Yeah.
The Browns let go. He's now played 5,891 consecutive snaps. Of course, he would have to go five more years to equal Joe. But my point is, if they didn't see them have the foresight keeping a guy like that here, can this group figure it out? I just really wonder.
Well, they, you know, they were going to just retool the whole roster real quickly, and they're finding out how difficult it is. And then when you pick veterans, you got to make sure you pick the right ones. Like, if you cut, suppose you cut Britt now, you go, boy, it really looks awful for you. Guess what? It looks awful having him on the team. And it's one thing for a 21-year-old quarterback to be outweighed. It was another for a veteran receiver taking out the other young receiver, would be Corey Coleman, you know. And they blew the curfew and ended up being sent home from Houston. And to me, it was an awful move on Hugh Jackson's part to start him this week. What did he actually do to earn the start? I'm talking about Britt.
Right.
So, I basically have seen enough. I would get rid of him. You're 0-7. He's not helping you at all. He caught two passes for 5 yards. I mean, enough. He's got 10 catches all year. So there's basically, if you notice here, we're talking about it on both ends, the front office end and the coaching end. And, you know, Hugh Jackson could start pointing things, well, they could have given me better players. And the front office could probably say, look, you could have done some better stuff with the guys you got. And frankly, then you get into the old Cleveland Browns finger-pointing thing, which, you know, self-destructive. And other than that, it's pretty good.
Six offsides, false start penalties.
Yeah,
discipline.
You like that?
Yeah. Inmates aren't running the asylum quite yet, but they got the keys and they're coming down the hall,
right,
I think.
Well, you're being tested.
Yeah, exactly.
You're flat out being tested. That's why the Britt thing, goodbye. You know, and that's why, to me, Kizer, who I think is a good kid and everything, he is, he's just turned 21. But you let him know, you can't do that.
Don't do that. All right, Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dater, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter. New piece coming up soon, too. Terry, thanks, partner.
Thanks, guys.
All right, best team coverage of the Browns, 7:54. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Our buddy Andre Knott, Fox Sports Time Ohio on the line. Hey, quick Indians note, Callaway to the Mets. Good for him, right?
Oh, it's awesome for Mickey. It really is. I think the Indians as an organization, I don't want to speak for them, but I don't think it's a surprise that they're losing Mickey. I think they've known over the last couple of years with the job that he has done at some point in time that this would happen. So congratulations, Farrell.
Guys, Farrell's name seems to be coming up over and over, John, with this organization for many years.
Well, certainly he's out there. And also, Andre, though, they've got some candidates within, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And the one thing about Mickey and Tito didn't know him before he came here. He gave him a fair, he sat down with him and he blew him away in the interview and he hired him. There's a couple names within the organization, but obviously, as Bill said, John Farrell, because of his interactions within the Indians organization and because of his friendship with Tito, I think we all think he's the leading candidate to start things off.
All right, let's switch to the Browns.
All right, let's go to the Browns. Andre, let's go to the Browns. Another one of those days. It was just an awful game. And then to see Joe Thomas down, that's the picture that just won't leave my mind today.
Yeah, you know what? Let's start there because I think that is a better place. I think what Joe has been able to do in his 11 seasons, I don't think any of us can calculate how unbelievable it's been and to play at such a high level. There's been some bad days down at Cleveland Brown Stadium or First Energy Stadium, but the wind was sucked out of the stadium and you saw him laying down on the ground just because we had never seen that before. Your thoughts really go out to him because the thing about Joe is no matter how bad the record is, no matter how bad the team is, no matter how bad the decisions have been, he's always kept the same attitude, always played at the same level, a model of consistency that we may never see again. And I'd say this is right up there with Cal Ripken. if not better, than what Cal Ripken did because of the physicality of the game.
It really is an amazing streak that he's put together on a team that has not won very often at all in the time that he has done that, and yet he's been able to go out there and just stay and play at a high level every single play that he's been on the field. Andre, for this team now, now that Hughes flipped the quarterbacks again, some of his decisions are questionable, and we're finally at the midpoint, and they got to go to London, England to play. Your thoughts with what you saw and where we go from here?
The officials in London have to be doing jumping jacks if they're getting an 0-7 team and an owner that's getting ready to have to go to court. For what he's have to go to court for, that's a heck of a sell to the NFL, in my opinion. But, you know, I've been frustrated since about the first or second quarter yesterday. I mean, I've been frustrated longer than that. There's obvious dysfunction in the organization and what they're doing when you see how Hugh Jackson has handled the quarterback situation. They've put together a roster of freshmen and sophomores. They basically said winning isn't important. They basically have said, you know, we want to go out and figure out who our quarterback is, and he's using him as a yo-yo. To me, there's dysfunction between the head coach and the rest of the team as to what they're doing. If they think that they are developing a quarterback by playing the yo-yo situation with them, it's ridiculous. They put this young 21-year-old quarterback out there. They put him in no talent to play with. Nobody's open. He throws two interceptions and you yank him out. I think it's one of the most dysfunctional things I've seen an organization do in the time I've ever been around sports.
I'm going to call myself passive Browns fan for just a sec. I mean, I don't live and die, but I'm still always disappointed, it seems like, guys. There are two franchises 0-7, the San Francisco 49ers and the Cleveland Browns. I couldn't name you who runs the 49ers, but I have more confidence that they will figure it out before this punch. Why is that?
They've given you no Bill. I'm glad you said that. They've given you no reason to trust or believe in anything that they will do. You're right. And why would you? Especially, I mean, tonight's Monday Night Football. I'm sure you guys have talked about it. It's not saying that the kid that's playing quarterback for Philadelphia is going to become John Elway, but at least you have some hope that they recognize the guy that can play football, and they drafted him.
Right.
Where can we see that or say that? I mean, we're talking about Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas was drafted back in 2007 by Phil Savage, who speaks to you guys.
Yeah.
He's the best player still.
I just think the one thing, and trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, but they make it so hard. Kenny Britt, look what he's brought to this team, and the problems that continue there. On the note today, Andre, regarding Joe Thomas, you know who has an active streak going of 5,891 plays? Mitchell Schwartz.
Wow.
And they just they let him go when he wanted to be here. I know we talked about that yesterday. These things just keep on happening, and then no real plan. As you said, they've got a freshman and two sophomores. Quarterbacks, there's nowhere to turn in terms of somebody to steady things for these young guys.
Calm down, Mike's.
Andre,
I've never seen him this upset. This is after slept. And Andre, you've got to check out. Get you out of here on this. There's two photos making news. We have DeShone Kizer in the bar at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
But wait till you see Mike Snyder with Happy, his dog. We have posted this, WilsonSnyder.com. I just tweeted it. If you follow me on Twitter.
I do. I'll check it out immediately.
You look like Judge Smales walking through Lakewood.
I'm Carl from the movie Up There.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
Carl. Okay.
Yes.
Well, the balloons gives it away. I guess that gave it away on the you got to see this. It'll make you'll just feel better about life when you see
there
Mike
you go.
Snyder rolling through the streets of Lakewood with Happy.
That's
Andre.
Right.
I can't wait to see it. John Kizer thing, being in a bar, whatever else, to me, this is, I get the Johnny Manziel angle of things, and I'll be quick, but to me, this is where we're going too far in the media. The kid was off work, and most people that complain about it, they've been at a bar, had a drink the day before they went to a game, to their own job. I just think that's going too far, and I think that's the TMZ of our nation, and more so than anything else.
Well said. We'll get you out of here. Be good, bud.
Take care, boys.
Andre Knott, Fox Sports, Sports Time. He's on the spew with you, right?
9-5. Yes, Andre's in today with Trivisano.
He'll have more to say. News coverage on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Your morning Cavs update with John Michael, voice of the Cavaliers, brought to you by Huntington. Want a bank that believes in looking out for its customers? Welcome to Huntington. Morning, John.
Good morning, guys.
Okay, Mike Snyder, we had a loss on Saturday, Orlando Magic. John, what happened?
It wasn't pretty. I tell you what, it's funny, the NBA, right when you start feeling good about yourself, the NBA has a funny way of humbling you when you don't have it on a particular night. The Cavaliers shot the ball poorly. The Magic, a team that had lost 17 in a row, the Cavaliers in that series came out with a 30-10 lead, and frankly, they never looked back. I mean, the Cavs closed a little bit in the third quarter, made it somewhat interesting before Orlando ran away, and a team that last season shot 29th in the league out of 30 teams, they nailed a ton. They nailed 17 in the ball game and cruised to victory. So now the Cavaliers need to bounce back. An interesting schedule coming up this week. Tricky in terms of that schedule. The Cavs are home tomorrow against Chicago, then off to Brooklyn on Wednesday, and then it's a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday at New Orleans, and then back home against the Knicks. So four teams expected to be out of the money in the playoff picture come the end of the season, but a tricky schedule for the Cavs. So four straight ahead for the Cavs to get back in the win column.
Well, we all know how early it is in the NBA season. It's even early for that, considering the early start in October this year. But, John, it is kind of baffling to see what happened Friday in that nice win in Milwaukee. And then the Cavs just, as you said, they were beaten from the get-go against an Orlando team that is going to be better, but certainly that's not what we expected.
I agree. And, boy, were they good in Milwaukee. I mean, that was a terrific performance against an up-and-coming Bucks team. They expect the Bucks to try to move into that upper echelon in the Eastern Conference. Cavs did everything right. I mean, looked super in the second half and won that game going away against the team, you know, in its home opener for the Bucks. They had a lot of hoopla coming into that game. And, yeah, they came back and didn't play particularly well against Orlando. That was a back-to-back. Now we have two coming up this season. We're going to see how the Cavs handle it. Both of those back-to-back do require a travel in between. So, like I said, the scheduling's tricky. The teams, like I said, aren't particularly expected to do a whole heck of a lot this season, much like Orlando. So we're going to see how the Cavs fare over the next four games, a couple of back-to-backs coming up in the next few days.
Well, there are some moving parts. There's a lot of depth, though. But I think guys are still figuring things out. I know Dwayne Wade has been asked about his game. He's certainly not looked like the Dwayne Wade that we know. And he said the other night, well, this is the first time I'm not the first or second option. So there are some moving parts right now with this team, aren't there?
No question. And that's to be expected. And Mike, I think there are going to be moving parts for months with this team. I mean, and when Isaiah Thomas comes back, expected at the end of December, that's going to be another big-time moving part that is going to have to assimilate itself into this club. We knew that was going to happen. The Cavs were without Derrick Rose in that game against Orlando as he suffered an injury in that Milwaukee game the night before. So they made a change there, starting Jose Calderon. So every time you do something like that, it kind of it throws things off, particularly when you have not had practice time with those rotations. LeBron commented after the game, he said, that's the first time I've ever played with Jose Calderon, because Jose had been playing with the second team and the third team in camp leading up you know, to the regular season. So I expect that, Mike, and I don't expect this team to get off to a particularly great start. I mean, if they go 500 over the first 20 games or so, that might be something that happens as you try to get all these different personalities, different guys who are accustomed to playing different roles, you know, working together with this team. So chemistry is going to take a while. I think that's to be expected, but I think it's a nice problem to have when you have all that talent and all that basketball IQ in that locker room as we roll forward into this season.
Yeah, let me get you out here on that point. At least we're not throwing punches. Let's talk ahead about Chicago and the Bulls tomorrow. Is this thing a dysfunction or not? I mean, they're arguing and fighting in the locker room, right?
Man, I tell you what, though. I mean, this team they're in full rebuilding mode. I mean, when Dwayne Wade, you know, came to the Cavaliers, you know, they don't have a lot there. And then, you know, for those who didn't hear what Phil's alluding to, I mean, the guy who was expected to be their backup power forward punched their starting power forward in practice, fractured his face. So Nick Mirotic, who was expected to be the starter, he's out for about a month. Bobby Portis, the backup, he got suspended by the team for 8 games. So a team that already was really weight for thin loses, you know, two of their power forwards. So, you know, this is a team that is expected to struggle, a team that's going to be ripe for the Cavs to take advantage of come tomorrow night, and we're going to see how that all plays out.
John Michael will call it. We'll talk about it with Jim Jones this time tomorrow morning on News Radio WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. 7 o'clock tip tomorrow night at the Q, then on to Brooklyn for Wednesday. John, thanks, partner.
All right, guys, have a good week.
All right, be good. Also tomorrow morning, complete Cavaliers coverage with the Czar. Mike Fratello checks in at 7:20 tomorrow morning. Entertainment notes, Weinstein update first. Our Jason Nathanson joins us. Fallout continues, and this thing is touching a lot of different people in Hollywood. They're now being accused as well, right?
Yeah, there's another director now with a lot of accusations. This is a story from the LA Times on Sunday. Director James Toback, best known for writing the movie Bugsy. He also directed a bunch of other movies, including Two Girls and a Guy. Allegations of 38 women say that he sexually harassed or assaulted them. And the author of that story, a guy named Glenn Whipp for the LA Times, tweeted yesterday that since the story was published, another 38 have come forward. So 76 women have accused this guy of doing something at the very least inappropriate, at the very worst, something that's criminal.
All right, box office at the weekend. We paid the most for tickets to go see Tyler Perry's Boo 2, Madea Halloween. Also news this morning, Justin Timberlake for the halftime of the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, which is kind of a surprise it was 13 years ago in 2004 when he and Janet Jackson had the wardrobe malfunction that was heard around the world and really changed popular culture and ushered in an era of everybody being so conservative, her being banned from music and from MTV and from radio stations. And now 14 years later, he's going to be the guy doing the halftime show. He's being let out of the box. A lot of people are unhappy this morning that she's not kind of getting the same love from the NFL and Pepsi.
The league will do anything to get away from this national anthem controversy, even put Justin Timberlake at the halftime show.
Definitely new controversy in place of the old one.
Entertainment guy Jason Nathanson, thanks, partner.
Take care.
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder.
Morning, Bill. How are you?
Good, buddy. The Senate getting the headline in that they passed a budget, I guess, to send back to you. You guys sent them a budget a couple of weeks ago. Have I got this right so far?
Right. We passed the budget, sent it over to them. They changed it significantly and are sending it back to us now.
Okay, now there's some talk about maybe the two getting together and somehow doing some tax reform on top of this. Is that what I'm reading right?
Well, actually, Bill, what will probably happen this week is that to save time, the Senate's asking us as a House to pass their budget. They've changed some things in it to try and help smooth the way. It's all about timing, getting things done quickly. So we're going to have to review the budget during this week. We're going to have to pass probably their budget to move it forward. And again, Bill, it's one of those things. There were things in the House budget I didn't like. There are things in the Senate budget I clearly don't like. But in an effort to continue to move it forward, especially when the budget is really just a blueprint. It's not law. Nobody holds it. Since 1974, we haven't stayed on budget, which is a whole other issue, which we've talked about in
yeah,
the shows.
So, great point.
So this budget is really just a way of getting tax reform done, and I think it'll be moved as quickly as possible this week.
All right, so then whatever you vote on, the two will get together and then do some tax reform, you're thinking then?
Well, then after that, the tax reform will start to become specific. It'll move into the Ways and Means Committee, which I'm on.
Right.
We will have to mark it up and move it to the House floor and then over to the Senate. So that's the way it works. So there's still a lot to be done, but the budget is the process to get us through reconciliation.
Are you ready for every lobbyist within a driving distance of D.C. to come see you? Because, I mean, on this tax reform question, look, there's a lot of things some people may enjoy that are going to have to go away, it looks to me like, if they're going to get this thing done.
Well, absolutely, Bill, and it's one of the problems. We've done this before when Chairman Camp was on the Ways and Means Chairman and I was on Ways and Means. As soon as we release something, every lobbyist comes in. Individuals say, we need to have this, we need to have it. It's one of the reasons why tax reform is so difficult to do,
right?
Because people want rates cut, but they don't want their special interest deduction eliminated, which is a big issue.
Good breakdown. Congressman Jim Renacci with us this morning. Congressman, thanks much.
Thank you, Bill.